The Montreal municipal elections are on their way. In November, Montrealers will vote for city councillors, borough mayors, and the city mayor to represent them in 19 districts across the island. This election, there is a new third party on the scene, Transition Montreal. Transition describes itself as farther to the left of Project Montreal, the party currently holding most positions in the city. In the borough of Saint-Jacques, Transition Montreal has chosen their candidate for city council. He's a business owner, a popular online presence, and overall a semi-famous and controversial Montreal figure. Sergio Da Silva is the owner of the music venue Turbo House and Cafe Big Trouble. He's known for his online rants about noise complaint bylaws, municipal zoning, and city policy on housing and homelessness. This year, Da Silva is turning his online rants into a real political campaign. I sat down with Da Silva at his restaurant, Cafe Big Trouble. Heavily tattooed and pierced, Da Silva doesn't look or talk like your average city politician. We talked about why he's entering the race, his politics, and whether or not his punk reputation will be acceptable in city council.
To get started, would you tell me a little bit about yourself and your presence here in the community? You're a business owner, you're a nightlife sort of popular figure, nightlife enthusiast. Tell me a little bit about yourself and your history here in the area.
My name's Sergio Da Silva. I've been co-owner of Turbo House for the past 13 years. It started as a DIY space in front at 1180 Saint Antoine. Most people who are a bit older and have been bands for a while will know that place very well. And I've been involved in nightlife spaces basically my entire adult life. And then I have this little cafe now. I own two businesses here in the district that I'm running in of Saint-Jacques. That's
it. And would you have ever seen yourself running for city council before Transition Montreal emerged as a party?
Not to do anything good, no. I mean, mostly for crimes, I guess. No, I have no political ambition. Like, even now, it's not something that I want to be doing. I mean, for the most part, people who get involved in politics because they want to get involved in politics, or if they think that they have every right answer, or if they think that, like, the way that they will do things will be the best way to do it, I feel like there's fundamentally something wrong with you. But in order to be able to further the things that I think are important in the city, you can only do so many interviews, you can only rant on the internet for so long until you need to figure out ways to actually affect change.
Right, and you're sort of known for ranting on the internet.
Yeah.
But also, you seem almost reluctant to be getting involved in a political campaign. So what was it that finally motivated you to get involved with Transition Montreal?
I mean, ultimately, it's, like I had said, it's just sort of like you have to eventually put your money where your mouth is. You can't just be an agitator. Like, at some point, you have to try to figure out how you can do things. And then Transition Montreal approached me, and, you know, they weren't the first ones, but, you know, I don't imagine I would want to run for any party that's not, like, a hard left-leaning party. So when they approached me, and I was like, sure, absolutely. Like, our goals align, and I feel like that I can influence enough of the party in terms of nightlife policy that I can be effective going forward.
We can get into the nightlife stuff later. Other than the nightlife stuff, what is it about Transition Montreal's specific platform interests you? You mentioned that they're more left-wing than, for example, I guess, Projet Montréal, but what was it specifically about their policy proposal?
Well, if you look at some of their policies, like, involving, like, housing, if you look at some of the policies, like, their free, what they want to offer, sort of, like, free public transport for lower-income citizens, that kind of stuff, like, appeals to me. Like, I feel like in a place like Montreal, we have the resources to do all these things, just not the political will to do so.
Some people might be surprised to see a business owner being so pro-left-wing political party. Would you speak to that a little bit?
I mean, owning a business is just like having a job. Like, I have a job. Like, I'm not, you know, Walmart here. Like, I've basically paid a lot of money to have a job. And ultimately, my needs are the same as anybody else's. I still have to fucking figure out how to pay my rent. I have to figure out how to pay my bills. Like, and all the things that are affecting anybody, any one of my employees, are the same ones that are affecting me. I get paid last. You know what I mean? Like, these are not, like, I'm not the Monopoly guy with, like, you know. So, ultimately, yeah, what's good for everybody else is good for me.
And let's talk about the area a little bit. What are the challenges in this district specifically that concern you?
Some of the bigger things, you know, I've spoken to the Mission Brewery. I've spoken to some people who work in emergency housing. And basically, some of the bigger things that I worry about is finding a way to coexist and with some of the unhoused population in our area, and basically making sure that they have a dignified way to live their lives. Like, for a lot of people, homelessness is sort of like transitionary, like it's not something they're going to be doing forever. And even people who are sort of like with issues long term, it's important that everybody kind of lives together and understands where the other person's coming from. So some of the work that I've been doing almost immediately before I've done any nightlife stuff whatsoever, like I said, I've been speaking with people who deal with emergency housing. Just today I went to the old Mission Brewery. I spoke with James down there. It's like, that for me is probably the biggest thing that I'd like to take care of in this district.
Tell me a little bit more about those conversations.
I mean, ultimately, a lot of the stuff comes out the same. There is money for it. There are resources for it. There are people who are willing to do the job, but there just isn't the political will to do the things that we need to do. For emergency housing, some of the biggest issues that we're going to run into, especially on the municipal level where we can affect change, is zoning. People have this bad idea in their head that if you put an emergency campus or an emergency shelter, that it will attract more homeless people and it will destroy the neighborhood. But that's, you know, just not true. I mean, these people have been living in these neighborhoods, in all the neighborhoods and boroughs of Montreal, forever. And to imagine that, like, there'll be an influx just because we gave them resources is fucking crazy. So, like, that kind of, like, NIMBYism is the first thing that has to go. And then on top of that, when we see encampments and we see things that potentially people would see as, oh, this is dangerous, they're dirty, God knows what, it's because, again, we're not using our resources properly. If every moving day or every end of, like, the year, you go to the McGill Ghetto, there's nothing but garbage on the streets, we can find the resources to clean up their bullshit. We can't find people who are citizens of our city, who have been here forever. We can't find the money and the time to go into these encampments, make sure that they have the toilet facilities that they need. We can't send garbage trucks to take care of the garbage that are there so that they don't have to live in squalor. Like, people don't want to live this way. And we have, again, we have the resources, we just don't have the political will. When you see somebody like Val Plante be like, oh, you know, trying to be hands-off with these spaces until they have to burn all their possessions and move them further east, when what we can do is provide them with not only, like I said, a bit of dignity when they have to go to the bathroom, a bit of dignity in terms of their living situation, having our public works go in, take care of some of this garbage that's there, and then sending in people like James from the brewery to help them take care of their taxes, help them take care of their IDs, help them take care of all the things that they need to get them out of these encampments. If you keep displacing them, nothing gets fixed. But if you give them the resources and you work with them to be able to get into affordable housing, to get them their welfare, to be able to get them their rent subsidies, that's what's going to get these people out of these encampments.
Let's talk a little bit more about, you mentioned the word NIMBYism, so let's talk about, I think, the thing people associate you with the most, which is discussing nightlife and discussing the clashes that happen in areas like where we're sitting right now over the presence of nightlife. We've been covering at the station the issue of the increased fines for noise violations, the noise bylaw proposals that received a massive amount of pushback from the public. Can you tell me a little bit about how you'd be able to address these issues as a politician from the inside? Why is it that, as you said earlier, ranting is not enough?
Well, if you're ranting on the internet, somebody who is putting policy together, you know, in City Hall, is not going to listen to you. But if I'm there and you have to fucking deal with me and you have to talk to me every fucking day, then, you know, the functionaries that live, that work on these policies are going to have to take me more seriously because I'm an elected official. You need people in City Hall who are willing to go along with what the experts say, not just, you know, watch their own backs. I don't give a fuck if I don't get elected. I tell people all the time when they ask me, like, the best case scenario is worst case scenario is I get elected. Best case scenario is I get elected. Like, I'm going to continue to do the work that I'm going to do. But if I could get in there and be able to make a difference that way, then that makes a huge difference to me.
So if you don't get elected, do you see this campaign as kind of a public information campaign in a way?
Absolutely. You have to be able to steer the conversations in a real way towards the things that you want to talk about. So, like, now you have to deal with me because I'm here.
So if you are elected, what would you propose when it comes to noise bylaws and managing the tensions that exist in areas around nightlife?
I mean, Transition Montreal already has their policy outlined. There are a few things there that I find to be really progressive in terms of, one of them is, you know, getting spaces that we can use specifically for venues and nightlife, and if the city owns them, they can sort of control the rent, which allows some younger people to come in, eliminate some of these financial barriers from new blood getting involved in the sort of industry. Having some places designated as nightlife spots, which would keep you from getting fined, and also giving you a path towards turning your specific areas into nightlife spots. So it's not just, you know, a city functionary who gets to decide what's what. If you can get the people together and decide this is something that is, you know, historically a nightlife area, you can make that transition for yourself.
Have you had conversations with with Transition's leader, Craig Sauvé, about this sort of thing? Do you guys sit down and discuss nightlife policy?
Yes, we have, absolutely. And I've helped to develop some of the policy as well. One of the big ones that I've brought up, ones that they were receptive to, is really trying to limit the interactions between the SPVM and bar owners and nightlife owners, trying to do mediation before we go into fines, trying to find a way that, because we live in a densely populated city. You can't expect every situation to go fine, and you can't expect all the rules to be able to encompass every situation that comes up. That's why mediation can certainly help alleviate a lot of these problems. If you look at something like La Tulipe, which I think is a perfect sort of like microcosm of what's going on here, that could have easily been solved by mediation. But, you know, the way it went down is that we lost a historical venue, people lost their jobs, promoters lost another place to play, bands lost place to play. It was a disaster. But again, this could have been solved before we even got there through proper mediation.
Mediation, you're talking about someone who has a complaint about the noise in the area, discussing things with the business owner or with the promoters?
With a third party, with a non-partial third party, and can find a solution to the problems that come up.
Let's talk a little bit more about the party itself, Transition. It's picking up candidates who are not necessarily politicians. I mean, there's some business owners, there's a poet, there's a sort of online influencer. You are a business owner and also someone with a kind of well-known public presence in the city. Do you think that this is appealing to voters? Do you think people are looking for this sort of outsider perspective in politics?
I can imagine that would be the case. But then also you look down south when, you know, it's not the greatest thing to always have a bunch of outsiders. Like, the party also has some longtime politicians. It has some career politicians, people who are in this world, who will help some of the other people navigate the things that they need to navigate. It's, you know, I don't think I'm going to be, like, I know what I want to get accomplished here, and I feel like I know how I want to do it, but ultimately there are ways that it has to be done, and it's important to have some of these long-term people who can show everybody else kind of the ins and outs.
Are you going to be able, if you are elected, are you going to be able to keep cool in this position? I mean, you're known as kind of punk rock kind of guy. Do you think there are any concerns about decorum or things like that?
Yes. And I was speaking about this specific thing with my partner yesterday, and she was wondering, like, you know, how are you going to comport yourself in these situations? Like, you're not, you know, you can be pretty prickly. And ultimately, like, I don't think that matters. I mean, I have something that I want to get done. I want to get it done as quickly as I possibly can. And whatever way that I have to do that, I'm going to do that. This is not going to be a career for me. I don't want to be a career politician. Like, that fucking sounds awful. I'm only doing this job because I live in the neighborhood. I can see the problems that are happening in this neighborhood. And I can also see what's great about this neighborhood. And I would like to preserve the things that I can and change the things that I can. So for me, like, the best way to do it is straight through. So I'm not really worried too much about, like, if people think I'm a bad or mean guy. I don't care.
How about time and energy? I mean, you run multiple businesses and, you know, support nightlife here in the area. Do you think you'll have the time and energy and capacity to also, have a position in city council?
The most important thing that you learn as somebody who runs a business, the first thing that you have to learn, or you're absolutely going to get your head kicked in, is proper delegation. If you can't find the best people to put in the best spots for them to succeed, then you're never going to be able to get anything done. So right now with the bar, I have a bunch of people who I know and I trust who have been here with me since the beginning, who are able to run that without me being there, without me meddling with anything. The same thing with the cafe. And then my work will basically be nightlife work. So it becomes all-encompassing. So I'm not too particularly worried about my time constraints. I'm good at finding the right people to do the right job. That's 90% of the work that I do.
And now you say you don't really care that much about winning. You say worst case scenario you win, best case scenario you win. Either way, you're getting a public information campaign, and if you do win, you'll do what you can to get things done. But I believe you a little bit. I believe you probably want to win a little bit. And so tell me why people should vote for you.
They should vote for me because if they're interested in having people who have the city's best interests going forward, I know those people. I could put those people in place, and we can make it so that Montreal is a place that you want to live for the next 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years. When you look at the way that it's going now with developers who are at the helm or the stewards of what the city's going to look like and people kowtowing to everything that they need, like, that's how rent has doubled since 2019. And we're going to allow the same thing to happen? How about somebody who knows exactly the issues that you're going through every fucking day?
Okay, and one final question. Can we expect anything interesting from your campaign before we hit election in November?
Yes, we have a lot of fun ideas. I have a lot of people who have become very, very interested in helping me, who are very interested in doing as many fun things as they can. I'd like to keep it under my hat right now, but just based on the reaction that I've had to me running, period, has made me feel pretty optimistic about how this is going to go. At first, I thought it was going to be a situation where I got into it and I'd get my head kicked in, but I got to make a sort of like a spectacle of the whole thing. And now it looks very much like there is a significant chance that I end up sitting here with you at some point in the future as city councillor of, Saint-Jean.
Does that scare you at all?
No.
Okay,
no, that sounds like a lot of fun, actually.
All right, well, thanks so much for taking some time to talk to Community Radio.